Welcome back to another broadcast. And we're still talking about the topic of trauma, and this is part four of the messages on trauma. And if you've not been able to listen to the previous three or you've missed some, please contact me at lessonsforthechristianlife@gmail.com. And I will be more than glad to try and arrange an opportunity for me to get these messages to you. But let's look up at Psalm chapter 9, verse 9. That says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." You know, there are so many people with whom you and I interact that are really struggling in life. And the problem isn't so much that they're backslidden. The problem is that they have so many problems, and maybe they've not learned how to go to the Lord so that the Lord can be their refuge. Maybe they feel unworthy to go to the Lord, so then they don't go to the Lord. They don't feel like they're holy enough or right enough to be able to seek His help, and they just ping through life, going from one trouble to another trouble. But here he says that the Lord's going to be a refuge for those who are oppressed. And this, the word oppressed comes from the Hebrew word that would mean to crush or injure or afflict. And that's the idea of the English word. So there's people that you and I know that are dealing with deep hurts, and they've not learned how to run to the Lord so that He can be their refuge. And what we're supposed to do, according to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, that if you see your brother overtaken in a fault, we which are spiritual should restore that person. And then he goes on to say, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so those of us who know the Lord, who have put our trust in the Lord, we need to help individuals who are really struggling and make it a personal ministry to find people who are struggling and then bear their burden with them and help them seek the Lord. I'm not telling you to give them money. I'm not telling you to take them into your house. I'm not telling you to do anything like that. I'm just saying reach out to them and as a spiritual person, have empathy and carry that burden with them. Be concerned for them as you would be concerned for yourself in that same situation. As you would seek God to help you, then each time you remember, seek God to help them, pray with them, and encourage them. And this topic that we're speaking about really fits in because people who have been traumatized, have been wounded greatly, they're wounded to the deepest part of their being. And you've heard the definitions that I gave on previous broadcasts. And it's a disturbing experience which causes intense feelings of fear, helplessness, or horror. And so as we looked at some of the characteristics of an individual who'd been through trauma, we chose to look at the life of Job. And as we saw in Job chapter 3, we saw that the tragedy of the event was greater than the sum total of his blessings. If you had the blessings of his life on one side of the scale and the experience of his tragedy that he's going through in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and still enduring through the rest of the book, that tragedy way far outweighs the blessings so much that he wishes that he was never born. He thought it'd be better not to be born. And then we saw in chapter 3, verse 20 and 22, the tragedy brought a longing. And that longing has the idea of having a cord attached to something and where someone pulls on it, where he's being pulled and longing for death. In fact, at one spot, he even states that if he knew he was going to die, he would leap for joy. Hope in death would cause him to joy, and that would be found in chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. That's where we left off on the previous broadcast, but stop and think for a minute. Who wants to die? Who would think, yay, I'm going to die tonight? But yet Job said that if he knew that was what was going to happen for him, he would be ecstatic, would be the word we would use today, because this great trial would be over. That is how devastating it was to him. And then we see in chapter 3, verse 24, we see that the tragedy keeps him from eating. And I get that from the idea of the word where it says it like this: for my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like waters. And here, before has the idea of to turn the face. So it's right when you turn your face and you begin to see something, that's the beginning point. And he says here that this sighing, this struggle that he's having inside, comes even before it would be time to eat. And I just take a little bit of liberty here in saying that because it's coming before it's time to eat and it's so tragic, it must have an effect on him eating. Did you ever get bad news? You had an appetite, had some bad news, and lost your appetite? Has that ever happened to you? Of course it has. It's happened to us sometime in our lives. And here Job is saying that that is his experience. But if I look at chapter 6, verse number 4, for the arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. And this is trauma burns in the soul of the person and consumes this person's life. It burns in their heart. It's burning inside of them. How did I get that? Well, the arrows of the Almighty are inside of him. They're within him. And then he says the poison. And I have a Strong's Concordance here on my tablet that I'm using, and I just tapped on it, and it says heat, anger, poison. I don't know if you've ever been stung. Guess what it does? By a bee, it stings, and that's technically like a burn. And he's saying that the arrows of the Lord, the poison that would be on them from this event, has a burning sensation to it. And here, that's what his life is like. It's burning in his soul. Let me go to Job chapter number 16, and I've got another verse in verse number 13 that's also important. His archers compass me round about. He cleaveth my reins asunder and doth not spare me. First off, let's look what that word reins is. And if you check it out, it's interpreted from the word that means kidney. Really? Well, if you study through the Old Testament, you're going to find out that the Lord desireth truth on the inward parts. And if you tap on those words, or if you have a Strong's Concordance, look it up, that's going to be this same word here. And it looks like it's attached to the idea that it has to do with a person's soul. And so what's happening is his archers compass me round about and cleave, which is to slice. So where is he sliced? And my reins asunder. So this person is wounded, like arrows are coming in and they're like burning him with their poison, and his soul is just sliced. I recall talking to a person one time who shared their life story with me and shared that many years earlier they had been sexually abused, and that had wounded them. And of course, then they had false guilt on top of that, and they had shame in that experience. And this is all a traumatic event for them. And it followed them throughout their whole adolescence, young adult life, middle age, all the way through to latter years of their lives. And they said that they finally had a handle on it, and they were finally able to deal with that incident. But it took them 60 years to deal with that. And they just said, I just... 60 years wasted. What's wasted? Wasted in the fact that they were traumatized and they didn't have the answers for it. I'm glad that they came to know Christ as Savior. But those of us who have been saved for a period of time know that when you first come to Christ as Savior, it's like a honeymoon. It's like a brand new experience and everything is just peaches and cream. But hold on. Because after just a little while, life continues to happen. And life continues to throw you curveballs, and you go into the ditch, and you have great trials and trouble and heartache. And so we're not going to be free from that. We're still going to experience that. But what happens is many people never learn how to deal with the tragedies in their life. So take me, for instance, and if you've been listening to my broadcast long enough, you knew how that I was trapped in perfectionism, and I had issues that happened to me as a young man. And although they happened before I was saved, and I came to know Christ as Savior, and when I came to know Christ as Savior, everything was just fantastic. However, not long and not too far long into my salvation experience or my new life in Christ, it wasn't long until some of those hurts and fears and struggles that were happening before salvation, I was still having to deal with. Imagine a young person who was rejected by his parents and abused, and he was wounded and his heart's been hurt. Well, he may come to know, or she may come to know Christ as Savior and experience the wonderful love and acceptance of Jesus. But as they go through their Christian life and other trials begin to happen, it doesn't take long until their heart begins to once again still feel the hurt from their parent, the rejection from their parent, the abuse from the people who abused them. And we need to know how to take those hurts now and take them to the Lord so that He can help us deal with them in a biblical manner. Most people never learn it. Most churches never share it. Most people don't even know how to deal with it. All we can get them to do is to try and get them to function and act like a believer. But what we need to do is change. We need to recognize that there's people's lives who have been so devastated. It's like somebody took a knife and sliced their soul. It's like somebody shot arrows into them and their heart is burning in pain. Sometimes they have flashbacks and experiences that just rob them of their joy for living, and they don't even want to eat. And some long for the day that they're going to die and all of this trouble will be over. But let's look at one more. We have just a moment to cover one more, and that is traumatized people live in the state of alarm. We're back at Job chapter 6, verse number 4. Remember, we were reading, "For the arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit." And here it is: "The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me." And here, now he's saying the terrors of God because he believed that God is doing this to him. What he does not know is that Satan is doing this to him. So we're still saying that this event is putting terror upon him, and that those who are putting terror upon him are in array against him, like setting up in a battle, and they are all around him. And this person lives their life as they're surrounded by this terror. It could be the terror that one more blow is going to take place. What else could go wrong? You've robbed me of my family. You've robbed me of my wealth. You've robbed me of my possessions. My wife has said, "Curse God and die." All my friends are far from me. I've got sores from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. What else can happen? And they're going to live like anything else could happen. Imagine if you were around somebody and you flinched and act like you were going to hit them, and they would throw their hands up like they were trying to be prepared, you know, like they were going to get hit. That is how this person lives their life every day. It's what's going to happen. Flash their hands up to try and protect life from striking them another traumatic blow. Who is going to make a difference? It's going to be you and me. And we know that Jesus Christ wants them to go to Him as a refuge, and He promises to help them. So until the next time, God bless.